It's good to be with you this morning. I'm always amazed at God's goodness, and He has blessed us with another beautiful day of life, and also what a joy it is to be in the assembly of the saints, and we're glad that you're here with us this morning. Before we begin our lesson, let's go to God in prayer. God, Father in heaven, we hallow your name. We thank you for this day of life, and we thank you for another opportunity to study your word. Bless those who are in the assembly today, and Father, we pray that the reading and the hearing of your word will help us to have a greater faith and be able to overcome the temptations and trials in this world. And Father, we thank you that you have shown us through your Son, Jesus Christ, that it can be done. We thank you for his death upon the cross and his resurrection and that hope of eternal life. Go with us now. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen. For a moment, I'd like for you to think about a golf ball. I'm sure that many of us are familiar with the golf ball, and if you've ever held one, you know it's a small little ball that's full of dimples. But did you know that it wasn't started out that way? When it was first manufactured, the golf ball was smooth. But as golfers played with the ball and realized that when it got roughed up and some nicks in it, that it tended to go farther. And so over a time, they began to put dimples in the golf ball, and it makes it go farther. Now, I know some golfers out there might think maybe there needs to be more dimples so it could go a little bit farther, but that's kind of the history of the golf ball. And as I think about the golf ball, it reminds us of life, that if you and I, living in this world for any amount of time, realize there is trials, there is problems, there is difficulties. But those who have the appropriate attitude can go farther in life when they understand those problems can help us and help us to be better people. Well, how does all that work? How does our problems help us in this life? Well, for the Christian, we can get some strength from God's word. And in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 9, notice what it has to say. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold, that that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold and perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen you, love. Though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy, inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Notice how Peter teaches us to deal with life's problems, how they can help us and encourage us to be stronger. First of all, the problems we face, we need to realize, are only temporary. Genghis Khan, the 13th century Mongol conqueror, asked his philosophers to come up with a truth that would always be unchangeable. And thinking for a while, they came back to their leader with this quote, "It too shall pass." It reminds me what a dear old lady once asked her, her favorite verse, and she said, "And it came to pass." You know that phrase who is mentioned throughout the Bible. And it's talking about the current situation, whether it's a trial or whether it's a problem or even in a time of joy. It came to pass. Paul mentions in 1 Thessalonians 3 and verse 4 when he was talking about affliction that it came to pass. It didn't come to stay. It came and went. And this is what Peter is mentioning here in 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 6. Notice again what it says. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while. Notice that phrase, a little while. It reminds us our problems are only temporary. They are not meant to stay. They are not meant to last forever. They are not permanent. Our problems did not come to stay. Think about some of the worst days in the Bible's history. as you think about that those days during the book of Revelation. Here in chapter 1, Revelation 1 and verse 9, John, who is on the island of Patmos, he is there. And notice he says that he is a partner in tribulation. He is there for his faith. He is being persecuted and he is enduring. Notice it will come to pass. As bad as it was in John's day, it didn't remain. Things continued. Time moved on. Over in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10, notice the instruction here. It says, "Do not fear what you are about to suffer. Behold, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison that you may be tested, and for 10 days you have tribulation. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life." The trouble that is being described here with the church of Smyrna came to pass. And Jesus even promised it. He even promised that this problem was not going to endure forever. And so you and I, when we are faced with those bad days, those troubles and problems, we need to be reminded of the scriptures and take courage that it's not going to last. See, it came to pass. It's only for a little while. It is only temporary. Think about this. Did you have a bad year last year? It came to pass. What about this year? You having a bad year? Good news, it will pass. Everything is temporary. What will not be changed by the passing of time will definitely be changed by the end of time. And the biblical principle is that we are to look beyond any problem. We are looked long beyond any difficulty or suffering and be able to be reminded that the future in the sight of God is good. Over in Romans 8 and verse 18, Paul said this, "I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us." Do you notice the optimism? Do you notice the faith that Paul has? That he looks beyond the present sufferings, whatever that might be for him and whatever that may be for you and I. We look beyond that because whatever God has in store for the Christian is far compared greater than anything that we experience here on earth. We can live with the present problem because they are temporary. Why fuss? Why fume? Why stew over the things that threaten you and I each and every day when we have such a view of Scripture that these things will come to pass? And so Peter reminds us, it's just for a little while. But number two, these problems we face do not have to make us miserable. Sometimes we hear that misery loves company. And yet we need to be reminded that throughout the Bible there was a number of people who had misery and uncomfortable situations. And yet all of them who were of faith reminds us that we can overcome and we don't have to be miserable in our times of misery. See, we think about Jesus' life, a man who was perfect, the Son of God who was perfect, and yet he experienced misery upon this life. And he reminds us to overcome. We see Paul in 2 Timothy 3 and verse 12, as well as other passages, reminds us that in this world we're going to have persecution, we're going to have trials, and yet he overcame. James is reminding us in James chapter 1, and Peter in this passage that we're looking at this morning, all teach the reality that as Christians we will suffer. That as Christians we are not immune to our problems or trials or tribulations. In fact, the reality is that because we are Christians, there are sometimes going to increase our troubles and trials. And so the Bible, the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, reminds us that do not allow these things to make us miserable. Yes, they come to pass, but there is also a certain attitude in which we should be able to display our faith, our belief in Almighty God, and the way we act will make an impact. Case in point, in Acts chapter 16, verse 25, we see that Paul and Silas were thrown into prison. They were thrown into jail. And what did they do? As they were there in that prison, they began to sing and pray. And because of that, that was a direct, or we might even say indirect, result of them converting the Philippian jailer. See, those around them heard their attitude. They heard their songs. They saw their disposition. And yet they showed that they could overcome. And even though they were in a miserable state, they did not have to be miserable. As we think about this very thing, it's amazing that during the centuries, early centuries of Christian persecution, that one of the things that amazed those who persecuted Christians is that oftentimes as they burned at the stake, or as they was led to be executed, they often showed great joy in singing or smiling or acting in contrary to the way the world would often act faced in those situations. And so Peter is reminding us of this very thing. Christians who are facing trials must continue and embrace their Christianity, continue to embrace their joy. Don't allow bad situations that we face to make us miserable. Notice again verse 6 in our passage. Even though we suffer grief, we have every reason to rejoice because of God's goodness towards us. Someone has said, a person is as happy as he makes up his mind to be. Well, for the Christian, we make up our mind to be happy because in Christ there is something greater. The hymn we often sing, Count Your Many Blessings, reminds us of the very fact that the trials and the problems that we may face, we need to realize we're still blessed. How often we are ready to count our troubles and forget our blessings. And so we sing that hymn. And it's a reminder of what the Bible has been teaching all along. The next time you encounter a problem that is causing you maybe spiritual or mental or physical pain, try to maintain a positive attitude. Think what Peter is saying. Think about the example of Jesus and Paul and Peter and James and so many others in Scripture who during their times of trials and times of pain, they endured and they rejoiced. Not in the situation that was miserable, but they didn't allow their heart, their spirit to become miserable. Notice also the attitude we see in Romans 8:28. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. What if instead of doing what the world does when we face trouble, we requoted, we relied, and we reminded of this passage to realize that those who love God, God works for good. If we want to triumph over our problems, whatever they may be, we may need to rejoice in the Lord. I love what the prophet Habakkuk says in chapter 3, verses 17 and 18. And notice his attitude. And notice what's going on in this passage. Though the fig tree does not bud, there are no grapes on the vines. Though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no food. Though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I'll be joyful in God my Savior. What an attitude. In a bleak and dark moment, Habakkuk tells us that he's going to rejoice in the Lord. What about us? As we think about the problems that you and I face, don't let your problems make you miserable. But number three, as we're continuing to think about problems, how do we overcome? Well, the problems we face, we need to realize, will help us grow. I know oftentimes when we face problems, we often look at it as a negative in life. We'll look down, maybe get depressed, they get discouraged. But we need to be reminded that there is another goal of these problems. They can be used for good. After all, weightlifters have a slogan, no pain, no gain. That slogan can also be used spiritually. There is no gain without the pain of discipline, perseverance, and self-denial. Just look like every workout an athlete has and goes through, it's the goal is to make them stronger. And so when we face those problems of life, look at them not as things that will tear us down and destroy us, but can help build us up and encourage us. There is a quote that says, a brook would lose its song if God removed the rocks. The rocks make the brook sing. Trials can make us have stronger faith. Notice again 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 7. So that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. When we trust God, when we put our faith in him, the problems and trials will work for us, not against us. but we must be sure our heart is in the right place. We must make sure our heart is yielding to Him. When we look through the scriptures of Mark chapter 4, verses 3 through 8, we see that the parable of the seed that Jesus quotes here, Jesus is talking about trials. There's going to be some who is destroyed by the trials in life. We must choose to be built up. In Luke chapter 21 and verse 19, notice what it says. By your endurance, you will gain your soul. Notice again what Jesus is reminding and encouraging. Endurance in this life, keeping on, will help us to overcome. And in Matthew 10 and verse 22, it says, And you will be hated by all for your name's sake, but he who endures to the end will be saved. Why is it that we are surprised when the atheist attacks? Why are we surprised when the world hates us? The Bible has been telling us all along. But notice what it also reminds us, that when we endure those attacks, when we endure those trials, when we overcome those problems, it will help in our salvation. And then over in Romans chapter 5, verses 3 through 4, we are reminded to rejoice in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And because of the suffering produces patience and character hope, in other words, suffering is designed to make us better, not bitter, not discouraged, but it's designed to help us develop our character, develop our faith, to help us become stronger in our relationship with God. You know, when you and I have a problem that comes in our life, we need to have this attitude, we need to have this focus, we need to have this mind, not to sink in despair, but focus, not to focus on the negative. But we should look for the good and be able to see that God has a way that He can use this to help us to overcome. Something good can come out of our pain and we can grow in our faith. But fourth, the problems we face can be overcame because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We can overcome. We can be overcome. Despite what we may face, we can overcome all and because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Notice again in our passage in 1 Peter chapter 1, this is how Peter starts out. He says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." Peter begins this passage by reminding us it's the resurrection of Jesus Christ that ultimately helps us overcome our problems. Yes, we can overcome our problems because of our attitude and understanding it's not going to last forever. It's going to be a short while. Yes, we can grow from these things, but ultimately it's rooted in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We can have a positive view of our problems and any situation in his life because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Have you ever realized how important, how essential, how foundational that the resurrection of Jesus Christ is? The scriptures remind us that our confession of faith in Romans 10, 9 and 10 is rooted in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Our repentance of sin, as we see in Acts 17, 30 and 31, is rooted in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Our baptism of dying to self and dying to our old man is rooted in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, according to Romans chapter 6, verses 3 and 6. As we have gathered around the table this morning, the Lord's Supper, it's rooted in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. In His death, we are reminded of taking the bread and taking of the fruit of the vine, but also notice in 1 Corinthians 11, 26, that we can proclaim His death until He returns, insinuating that He is resurrected from the dead, and so we're reminded that the resurrection of Jesus even makes a difference in the way we take the Lord's Supper. But notice also John chapter 20 and verse 1, that the resurrection of Jesus Christ is the whole reason why we're here and gathered this day, for Jesus arose on the first day of the week. Notice all our faith, all our what's rooted in our conversion, of who we are as God's people is rooted in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, even the day that we have come together to assemble. But it's not just our Sundays. It's our Mondays through Saturdays. Every day of our life stands or falls by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Notice again in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 6. He reminds us that we can overcome our trials, our problems, because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's why we can say everything stands or falls on the resurrection of Jesus. Everything is connected to that one major event, that turning event in history. And so I can look at life and its problems different because I have a Savior who has died but now has resurrected. This is so imperative to our faith because the resurrection of Jesus Christ not only transforms the way my relationship with God, but it also transforms my relationship with one another. In Ephesians chapter 5, verses 21 through the next chapter, chapter 6, we see that because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, it changes the way I treat my spouse. It changes the way I treat my children. It's different than the world's view. How many times we see that the world abuses and neglects and harms their family, but for the Christian, transformed by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we provide, we help, we look out in the best interests of our loved ones. The power of the resurrection reminds us that we view life and our relationships different, even our trials. We have a different attitude. We have a different lifestyle. Over in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 11, as well as Galatians 5, 19 through 22, it tells us and reminds us of these sins that so easily entangle us. They remind us that our world is full of self-seeking and greedy and evil people. And these passages remind us that's how we were. And it reminds us that because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we're different. That our behavior is different. That Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection transform us. I wonder, do we realize, do we understand, do we grasp how powerful the resurrection is? See, the Bible presents that every aspect of our faith, our allegiance to God, my daily life, even my problems are different because of the view of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. Do we see the resurrection in that light? Do we see the resurrection that is the center of our life? Or unfortunately, have we become so familiar with the story, it causes us to become complacent, maybe sometimes even indifferent? Do we neglect the Lord's Day? Do we leave our Christianity at the building? Do we just live like everyone else because that is just the way it is? Or are we different? I'm convinced, as I read 1 Peter, and as I read the greater context of Scripture, that every aspect of my life is to be different. I view life different because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Notice in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 20, it reads, "But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the firstfruits of those who have fallen asleep." May we never forget, may we never neglect that the resurrection of Jesus Christ makes a powerful impact and a difference in the way I view my problems. See, we can overcome our problems. We can overcome the trials because Jesus Christ overcame death in this world. As we conclude this morning, maybe what Peter is trying to teach us can be best illustrated by an article I came across in preparing this lesson. It was written by a person from World Christian Radio, one of the organizations we just heard recently on Wednesday night about their mission work. But this article comes from one of their people, and it takes place in the early 1990s. And there is a Vietnam Christian, which his picture is up on the screen. He was thrown in jail for telling others about Jesus. And while his wife and small children waited for him at home, thousands of Christians around the world wrote letters to trying to change the Vietnam government's mind about this Christian. Well, while he was there, he began telling others about Jesus. And a long story short, he began planting the Word of God in the lives of those prisoners in that prison. Now, prison wasn't a pleasant place. He reminds in his story, or tells in his story, that it was a dingy place, a place that was very smelly and very dirty, and they weren't being taken care of. They didn't have a lot of food. It was a horrible place. And yet, the Word of God spread. Well, as time went on, the government got a lot of pressure from other governments around the world and began to offer this Vietnamese Christian his freedom early. And as he was told by the prison officials that he could be let out, he refused. He refused to escape this dingy, dark, disgusting place. He had his freedom, but he chose to stay, as the story in the article goes on, because he had a great work going on in that prison. He finished his service, his time in prison, and he eventually left and continued his work outside prison walls. But I tell you that story to remind us that if this Christian man, who was forced into a very dark and dingy prison, who was locked up from his family and his friends, could see something positive, what about us? As you and I are locked sometimes in the problems that we face, kind of like a prison, how are we going to view them? See, we can change our problems, the attitude of our problems, and be able to see it with a new value to our life and our faith, just like this Vietnamese Christian, or we can allow our trials to defeat us. The choice is ours. Peter tells Christians we can turn our trials into triumph if we have the proper attitude. If we understand Jesus is the resurrection and the life, and we understand these trials are just for a little while, if we understand that God is working in them to bring us stronger faith. So today, are you a triumph? Are you defeated by your problems? Really, that choice is up to each one of us. How are we going to take the scriptures and apply them to our heart, our mind, our soul, our will? It's up to you. And so as a way of invitation, the Bible reminds us that we can have victory over our trials, but we must put our allegiance in Christ. And so this morning, have you done that? Have you made Jesus your Lord and Savior by confessing your faith and repenting of your sins, putting him on a baptism? Or maybe you've done that for some reason. You're being defeated by your problems, your trials. We'd like to pray with you and for you. Come now as we stand, as we sing.